was all around. I'm entitled to.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is the hour again of the week that you've been waiting for. It is the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. And you'll forgive your host tonight if he sounds like he's a little unprepared, because I don't really have a lot of show prep in front of me. I got stuck at my real world job late, and now we're trying to get in here to catch up. So we don't make excuses. We just go straight to the news of the day. And again, people are already lined up. I will get to the calls waiting to get on the line here in the order that I see them just very shortly. If you two want to join them, and the number, as always, 858-683-1326. The date is Thursday, June the 13th, 2013. Lucky 13. And we're on the eve of Flag Day. And we are not one of those people who believes in worshiping the flag. But the fact is that Flag Day's origins were noble and honorable. Basically, June 14th, tomorrow, commemorating the adoption of the flag, which of course happened back in 1777 by resolution of the Second Continental Congress. The United States Army also celebrates the Army birthday on this date. It'd be great to get the Army, of which I've had many relatives, including my father, serve under. It'd be great to get the Army to get back to their origins of defending our country instead of empire building. So, going from that right into the news of the day, maybe we'll talk a little bit about a special election in Kentucky. Yeah, I know we have listeners around the world, but there's a special election in Kentucky where, once again, we're being told, you better follow what the two establishment parties tell you. You better do exactly what they tell you to do. You better follow what either Tweedledee or Tweedledum tells you to do, because God knows you can't go voting with those third-party people. And I think we got one of those people who's a third-party person, not one of the rabble-risers, but one of the good people calling in here. In the 859 area code. Is this who I think it is, my friend?
It is.
It is Frank. Way behind the enemy lines of Vietnam.
I came to bask in the reflected glow of a U of L alumnus, and I'm hoping that by your reflection, I can get some of that glow.
Well, there are a lot of UK fans saying that this time of the year, and you know, frankly, I'm an alumnus. I wish I was benefiting monetarily like the athletic programs are, but. It's funny you mention that, because we have a political system, Frank, and I know I don't have to tell you this. They look at the party system as like one big football game. Oh, we use football, a sport that they really don't understand at UK. But they think everybody's on one side or the other of the football game. That's a kind of an oblong pigskin that's now cowhide for those UK fans. Because they look at it as a team sport.
Does that go through a net, or how does that work?
No, there's no net. It involves a lot of running and hitting people hard and not flopping over and complaining when you get hit. It's kind of a wild sport. But the thing, Frank, that I really want to focus on tonight was too many Republicans and Democrats, they're collectivists. They view elections as team sports. If you suggest that more than two candidates should be in a political race, well, they act like they soil themselves and they wet their depends, first of all. And then they act like that it's absurd to allow a third football team on the field amongst their 200-year-old game. I mean, wouldn't you say that's an accurate description?
Well, it's funny. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this phrase. What are you trying to do? Give the election to, you know, the name of the other party. If it's a Republican, they say, what are you trying to do? Give it to the Democrats and vice versa, you know. Or I'll hear, like, in the presidential election, I voted for Gary Johnson. And so they said, what do you want to do? Do you want Obama to win? I said, no, if I wanted Obama to win, I'd vote for Obama. I want Gary Johnson to win. That's why I'm voting for Gary Johnson. It's like their math doesn't quite add up.
No, the math doesn't add up. And they look at that from the outside and they think, well, you know, you've got to vote for us. And we've talked so many times about their false left-right paradigm, where they come back and they say, well, like Frank just said, if you vote for candidate X, You're really voting for candidate Z. No, I'm not. If I was wanting to vote for candidate Z, I would have checked the box or marked the little fill in the blank for candidate Z. They don't get that. They're so two-dimensional. These are the people who would have thought there was a flat earth back in the day, Frank.
Well, the other thing is they don't seem to understand that they're not entitled to my vote, that they have to earn my vote. And they ought to, you know, if they wanted my vote, they'd maybe put up a better candidate. That I'm not trying to throw the election to the other team. I want my guy to win. And so my guy's not going to win probably most of the time because my guy has the playing field, you know, that's tilted heavily against him. When you vote for a third-party guy or when you vote for an independent guy, the deck is heavily stacked. And so the two parties ought to get a new slogan though, other than you know, my guy's not as bad as the other guy. That's really not an effective campaign, is it? If McDonald's was running on that and saying, well, at least our hamburgers aren't as crappy as Burger King's, that wouldn't be much of a campaign or an ad campaign, would it?
No, it wouldn't, and that's really what they're doing, and they've been around about as long as, you know, big GMO companies like McDonald's has been around, and they, like you say, they're still not producing anything. It's like they're the training ground for government. We know government doesn't produce anything. We've talked about government unions and government employees and how they don't have to show any production value, and they're learning that. That's the training ground, the breeding ground for it in the political system. I mean, I tell people, if you want to think of it as a sporting event, at least think about it like a horse race. How boring would a horse race be if there were only two horses in it, you know?
Yeah, you're just trying to make my horse lose, Dale, that's all.
Yeah, I put a horse in to make your horse lose. That's what I'm doing. But in reality, if they believe in competition at all, wouldn't they invite others in knowing full well that it would improve the race for everybody, Frank?
Well, you would think that competition would be something that the Republicans would champion, that they would welcome competition because competition is what improves the overall product. When you have more choices, then people try harder to produce a better product, do they not?
They do, but you're exactly right. They go out and use campaigns. I talked about this on the Ed Springsteen show last night, that they just say that I don't suck ass as bad as the other candidate sucks ass.
Now, there's a visual I really didn't need. Thanks a lot, Dale.
Well, I mean, wasn't Gatewood right? When Gatewood Galbraith, the late, great Gatewood Galbraith, he would be at these campaign events, and he would be in the middle usually. Sometimes they put him way on the edge and hope nobody saw him on the stage. But sometimes he'd be in the middle between the left and right candidates, since they'd position him like that. And he'd say, hey, I believe everything that this guy over here is saying about that guy, and vice versa. I believe everything he's saying about this guy. So vote for me because I think they're both corrupt.
Right. And, you know, we've got an interesting race right now in the 56th district here in Kentucky. We've got, I don't even know. Are there four candidates in this race? I know there's a Republican, Lyon Cruz.
I know three.
There's at least one independent. This is going to kill me. Is it John Mark Hack? His last name is definitely Hack. And I got to see him firsthand last night, and I was a little bit impressed, actually.
Well, since you got to see him, I mean, was he at the Libertarian event? Is that right?
He came to our 6th District Libertarian Party meeting, and we got to ask him any questions we wanted. He was there for a good hour, and I was hoping we would get to see some of the other candidates. I've campaigned on behalf of Lyon Cruz in the past. I know him to be a good fiscal conservative. I think that he can improve a lot on his social issues and things like that. But, you know, the fact is if you just get a politician that's willing to stay within a budget, that curbs a whole lot of the shenanigans that they can pull. When they can borrow money and spend money that they don't have, they can get away with a lot more really bad stuff. So I'll give Lyon a lot of credit for being a good person. He's got a good personality. And he is a fiscal conservative. I think he would go to Frankfort and probably do good things for the budget. But I think that Mr. Hack would also do good things for the budget, and he had some good experience, some good ideas.
Yeah, he's got a 10-point plan, and that's what I was going to ask you about. If I didn't want to put you on the spot, if you could tell us some of the highlights of what he had to tell you last night.
Sure, and I'm trying to remember the other candidate that I'm aware of is a guy named Kay, and I can't remember his first name. It starts with D. And I at first thought it was going to be our city councilman here from Lexington, Steve Kay, who is a flaming leftist socialist of the worst order. And I really was hoping to kind of put him on the spot for some of his bad votes, but it wasn't Steve Kay. It was a different Kay. But Mr. Hack has spent some time in Frankfort. He started out 20 years ago working as some kind of, I think he was working within one of the departments in Frankfort, and he's seen how things work there, and he says that Frankfort really took a turn when they went from having, you know, sessions every other year to now they have a session every year, plus often, quite often, they have a special session on top of that. And he, in his words, he said that basically that a lot of the people in Frankfort now think that they're a lot more important than their constituents.
They have annual terms.
And now they go up there and they're kind of arrogant.
Yeah, and they have annual terms, and then if that's not bad enough, we always have these special elections. So it's not bad enough that we start out, you know, every 2 years, which, you know, I always said instead of meeting for whatever it is, 60 days every 2 years, we should meet for like two days every 60 years. Maybe there'd be less government intrusion. And then they got down to annual sessions. And then why don't even call it a special session? It should just be called, we're going to call one at some point, just be ready, because Bohica, here it comes, you know? I mean, that's what they should call it, because how many special sessions have there been? I mean, it's not really special if you're doing it every other year, and you won't do a budget, and the budget is what you're supposed to be up there to do in the first place. That's your main point of being there, supposedly.
Well, I raised the question somewhere, I can't remember where it was at, that why don't we put in an amendment that says that until they pass a budget that they can't talk about any other piece of legislation, that that ought to be the first and only thing they're allowed to vote on, and until they pass that, nothing else gets discussed.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, we've had a few people who come around and they'll look at things other than just the left-right flat earth paradigm, but it really bothers me, because if you try to stand up to the false left-right paradigm, you have sheep coming over from the major parties. And the sheep will tell you, oh, you got to support fill in the blank, Lion Cruz. You got to support him, because if you don't, you know, John Mark Hack, to use that example, is going to draw off votes from the Republican. Well, what if we didn't like any of the candidates in the first place? You can't draw a vote from it when a vote wasn't there. I agree with what our Sunday night host Ken Mullman says, which is that if a candidate's not worth voting for, I just don't vote in that race. This isn't like someone's got a gun to your head and you got to bet on either the red team or the blue team. You don't have to pick red or black on a roulette table. You can just pass.
Right, and I just checked, and his first name is John Mark. But you were asking
John
about some of the issues. And one of the things that he brought up repeatedly was the fact that we have a runaway budget with the state pension. We've got, I know, teachers' pensions are out of control, government
yep.
workers' pensions are out of control, the legislators'
yep.
pensions are out of control. And how in the world is it that legislators get to vote for their own salaries? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in Washington. It doesn't make sense at the state level. It's a conflict of interest, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if a legislator has a clear conflict of interest on an issue, don't they have to recuse themselves from voting?
I think that, you know, if they had the honor, they would recuse themselves. I don't think they have to, but they're supposed to do it if they're honorable, but we know there's no honor among thieves. So that's
right.
Probably means they don't. I mean, but then you look at these special elections, and again, I'll hark on this for a moment. You'll have these people, to use the Republican side, for example, oh, you got to vote for the Republican this time around because it's a special election, and if you don't vote for them, well, then the Democrats are going to keep their 55-45 majority. Well, they're doing fuzzy math because you can't have one race. You can't have one race make up a 10-person deficit. So, you know, they keep telling you this is a key step in the right direction, that, oh, how are you going to take over the state house leadership? What are we going to do? And I ask him, who is this we, Kemosabe? I mean, Are you just talking about the people who have their R in front of their name?
Well, I see, too, what typically, and I hate to be collectivist, but when Republicans have actually been in power, when they've actually had the majority in Washington, what did they do with it? Did they reduce spending? Did they curb the deficit? Did they pay down our debt? No, they didn't do any of those things. So why should I think just because somebody's a Republican that they're going to be any different from somebody that's, you know, labeled as a Democrat?
Well, they just keep talking about wasted votes, and again, they're the ones lying when they talk about wasted votes. Look at the people who don't vote at all because they don't have a good choice. Look at the people who don't get out and vote at all because they see how long it took anybody to come around to issues like industrial hemp. I mean, we know that we need to get rid of Obamacare in Kentucky, and we know we got a few people like David Adams who are spiriting that cause, but again, if elected, aren't these people just going to support the same old House Speaker? And it's once again, you always have this argument, well, if you get independent in there, who will they support? Well, maybe they'll look at it, and they'll support the best candidate instead of just the one that has the same letter, the same team crest on their chest. Because the question should be, why should you support the same old party status quo? They've enjoyed their run. They've had a good, whatever it is, 150, 160-year run since the war of northern aggression on the South. Why not look for somebody who's not in the same two parties to be a House Speaker or a Senate President or such, you know?
Well, you know, I think that you're seeing that there's so many more people who are willing to vote for a third-party person, an independent person. You know, I've seen candidates that go out that are independent candidates, and one of the selling points that they use all the time is, I'm an independent. Or, you know, I'm a third-party guy, and people will vote for the person just because they're not a Democrat or a Republican. That's become a real strong brand to have behind you, the independent label or the third-party label.
Yeah, and again, we've talked about, Ken Mulman and I have talked about this many times, some of the problems in the state parties, and we can only look at our own state. It's, number one, you have legislators who make too much money. You can definitely pattern themselves if you want a role model for citizen legislators. Look at what they're doing in New Hampshire, where they literally only make a few hundred dollars for a two-year term, so people aren't doing it for the money. Number two, you need to get rid of the straight party voting on the ballots. I mean, I give you guys credit in Lexington. At least you have a city council that's nonpartisan, so you're not trying to decide if you're voting for the Republican or the Democrat.
Right, and that is a good thing. And you know, I've even thought about the idea of taking away district boundaries and making every race an at-large race, and making it a true horse race as it is now. It's kind of compartmentalized for the city council. But why are we broken up by geographical regions to say represent a state or to represent a city? Why don't we have just a true horse race where everybody's running against everybody? And then you take the top however many, you know, like in Kentucky, we've got six congressional races. Why not just take the top six people, you know, throughout the entire state? And then you could choose to campaign wherever you wanted, and you wouldn't, you know, you're representing your state anyway. In some ways, you're representing the whole country as a congressman. But wouldn't that change a lot of things, like redistricting? You wouldn't have the issues with redistricting that you have now, and the corruption that goes with that, and the way the two parties try to gerrymander the districts. I agree.
I was going to say on the national level, we've been talking about the state level mainly, but, you know, you had a bipartisan effort to take away your rights. You know, if you don't like that, maybe you shouldn't support the two major parties. Look at the NSA disclosures and the awkward light that is putting on some official statements. You look at what an Obama campaigned on or what a Bush campaigned on. And unfortunately, it's not a party problem. It's a human problem. And whoever has control of the government, you know, would there be a hesitation getting rid of the capability you've given? You bet the rest of the world is building up their cyber hacking capability, they'll say. But it's the responsibility of the individuals to protect themselves. It's not the government's responsibility to do this. I think we got a good friend, Paul, from Stop It calling in. Paul, are you with us?
Hi, gentlemen.
How are you tonight, Paul?
Hey, listen, I'm doing okay. Dale, I want to take a slight exception with something that Frank just stated regarding that in Lexington, he was concerned about having the district's representatives elected from each district. I need to remind Frank that the Jefferson County, up until this merger law passed, Jefferson County did in fact elect their commissioners countywide.
Yep.
And that really favored the partisan way of doing things. Now, Vietnam does not have overt partisan voting, okay? And so that's a good thing. I actually agree with that as a concept. However, I'm not sure that even with the nonpartisan way of doing things, that that wouldn't lead to problems by having all of the loyalists vote for a particular person, even though they're not necessarily going to be representing the people in that district. We tried that here. It didn't work. I mean, the Democrats always got their people elected. Republicans never got any of their people elected, never. So,
Frank, what say you?
Well, you know, I'm listening and I'm thinking through it. I think any system you can devise, there's always going to be corruption. There's always going to be people that are trying to play the, you know, whatever games they can come up with to beat the system. And so with politics, I don't think you can devise something that's 100% foolproof or 100% fair. But I'd like to try different things just to try and see what works and what doesn't work. If there's cases like in Louisville where you can demonstrate, oh, well, we tried that and it didn't work, I love to hear that. Then, okay, we know not to do that now. And I'm happy to be proven wrong if I'm wrong. I don't have a problem with that. But I like to study the results. I like to try to analyze it as a problem and as an experiment, like I think Thomas Jefferson would have wanted. You know, he envisioned us as, at the time, I don't know how many states there were under, you know, what, 20 back then or 25, but he wanted us to be a social laboratory where each state got to experiment, find out what worked and what didn't work, and then apply that. So I don't mind if I'm wrong. That's fine if I'm wrong. Let's try something else.
Well, you all have there in Fayette County, Frank, y'all actually have kind of an interesting hybrid because I believe your council people are elected by district, but then don't you all have like two or three or four at-large members?
Correct. We have three at-large, and whoever gets the most votes of the at-large candidates is the vice mayor.
Okay. So you kind of got a hybrid arrangement there. The system that we had here in Jefferson County was actually mandated. Excuse me, it's one of two choices that you have for county governments in Kentucky, and that's the commissioner and county judge model. And then there's also another model available, and that is the magistrate and county judge model. But the magistrates, I believe, are elected by district, and the county judge, of course, at large. A lot of counties use the magistrate county judge model. So we have a variety of models in Kentucky, and they all have their good points and they all have their bad points. But I'm in agreement with you. I don't think there is a perfect way to do things. But to me, keeping it as small and compact and as close to the people who are affected, in other words, by district, I think the smaller the subdivision, the better it is for the people in that district because they have more opportunity to mount a concentrated effort in a smaller geographic area.
Right, you know? I agree. I would agree with that.
Well, we appreciate definitely weighing in on the Lexington versus Louisville and the situation we have with nonpartisan races. I think it's a good start just that you get the R and the D away from the names. We're going to take a bottom-of-the-hour break here on the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. And when we come back, we'll go to the national stage because we're talking about Democrats and Republicans. We will talk about Dear Mitch McConnell and defending NSA surveillance. Maybe we'll just let the NSA do the show since they monitor it all the time anyway. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Papa. I learned how to play my guitar. Some people say I'm gonna be a superstar. Smoking marijuana, cigars.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was our bumper music there. Little Lynyrd Skynyrd was our right or wrong. You're listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. And we got our good friends Paul from Stop It. He's here in the Soviet Socialist Republic of Louisville. And we got Frank on the line behind the People's Republic of Vietnam. You both with me still, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was talking about teasing behind the break there. We were going to talk about Dear Leader Teddy Ruxpin, Mitch McConnell, and we were going to talk about how he's defending NSA surveillance, and I saw some good news today. Good news today was the Louisville Tea Party calling out Senator Mitch McConnell. The Louisville Tea Party called him out today for being a hypocrite for defending NSA surveillance. You guys hearing about this story about how your dear Republican leader who would never do anything wrong, listen to the Republican Party establishment in Jefferson County. If you listen to the Shelley Mays and the Clint Hardys and those, they'll tell you how wonderful the Republican Party is. Your all's comments about Mitch McConnell and defending the NSA surveillance?
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, at one time Mitch may have, and I use that term advisedly, but he may have been more of a real Republican, and that is he's a loyal opposition, if you will, and stood on certain issues that involved maintaining a principled stand. However, these last 6 or 8 years, Mitch absolutely is part of the problem. He is so he's so infected with that inside the Beltway mentality. And some of what I think Mitch is just saying, I'm going to ride this horse as far as I'll take it. I've got this power, and I know how to use it. And the constituents back in Kentucky, they're secondary.
Well,
secondary.
Frank, I'll go to you, Frank. What about the fact that we've talked about this story on the airwaves of the My View Matters Network? What about the fact that Mitch McConnell's handlers threw a little fit They all pissed in their little pink panties when they saw that someone supposedly recorded a conversation that Mitch McConnell had, and he says it's okay to record all your conversations.
You know, that had never occurred to me until you brought that up just now.
I mean, Curtis Morrison, I know Curtis Morrison. I mean, yeah, Curtis Morrison is not your typical Democrat. He's like us. He doesn't do what the party tells him. And Curtis Morrison is the one, and I don't know if he should have come out and admitted he did the recording. That's neither here nor there. But that's what they're all uptight about. McConnell's handlers are all uptight because they recorded a few minutes of McConnell and his attacks on Ashley Judd. And my God, it's Ashley Judd. She deserves the attacks. But beyond that, he's okay with the surveillance program. Earlier this week, McConnell came out and said that the NSA obtaining the call logs from millions of Americans is legal. It's got the proper congressional and judicial oversight.
Well, see, they've got everything backwards. They think that government should be protected from us, and we think that we should be protected from government. And so until they get that equation right, then we're going to continue to live in a land that is less than free, aren't we?
Well, that's why the folks at Louisville Tea Party got it right. They sent out a Twitter message, a twat, and they sent out their twat message, and they said that, hey, Team Mitch, why do you get so upset when someone spies on you, but you want to spy on all of us? That was from the Louisville Tea Party. So I guess they're not all Republicans. I guess they're not supporting whatever the Republican Party tells us to support. I guess people over there, the establishment Republican Party, I guess the Clint Hardys of the world would say that they're not being good Republicans because they're not doing whatever the party tells them. What say you?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of red stars handed out come the next election cycle. I know we've got some people here in Fayette County that are going to get big red stars, and you know who some of those people are.
Oh, yeah, I mean, McConnell claims, Addison Mitchell McConnell claims that the NSA surveillance program is lawful. And he's wrong because the law, like the Patriot Act that he helped champion through Congress and that they empowered the NSA to collect phone data, are direct violations of the Fourth Amendment. They don't want to believe in the Fourth Amendment. And someone needs to remind Addison Mitchell McConnell that the Constitution is supposed to be the supreme law. Paul?
Well, your example there is pretty good because I've considered this country to have a ruling elite. And in that respect, it isn't that much different than Syria. You know, we're lambasting this Bashar Assad guy because he's decided that he's and his elite bunch are going to create the rules. And isn't that what it sounds like with Mitch McConnell? Is that they are creating the rules according to what they want and not according to the Constitution. And B, you mentioned a court decision that he was trying to hide behind. Wasn't that the top secret court that none of us knew about until the news mentioned it?
Oh, definitely. And remember, besides defending the program with NSA, McConnell also, to keep with the national news stories, McConnell also has called for the full prosecution of Edward Snowden, who leaked, allegedly, the information about the NSA program in the first place.
Well, Mitch has got so many double standards, it's kind of sickening. It really is. And, again, he's been up there so long. He's drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, he went up there in 1984. I mean,
yeah.
You know, people get mad if they go after his China connection. I'm not afraid to go after his China connection. That's what Curtis Morrison got in trouble for, too, and telling the truth about that big money that he's tied to. But when you've been up there since 1984, I mean, is the goal to turn him into Kentucky's own Strom Thurmond or to do like the late William Natcher, get to the fact that they're going to have to bring him in on a gurney and just keep him up there year after year after year, like Weekend at Bernie's, just prop him up. See, it's silence is deafening. What do you think, Frank?
Well, you know, the argument I hear all the time from the establishment Republicans is, well, Mitch does good for us, you know, in Kentucky. He's up there. He's strong. He's the most powerful person up there. and we need him there to protect Kentucky's interest. But the fact is that so many things that Mitch has done has been so hurtful, not just to Kentuckians, but to all Americans. When he voted for TARP, what was that? I mean, how can you forgive him for TARP? That was one of the main reasons that so many Republicans joined the Ron Paul Tea Party movement, which was already in place, and then, you know, they tried to claim credit for it. But Mitch was one of the main reasons the Tea Party formed, you know, to protest TARP.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you look at the votes, like you said, that Mitch McConnell has up there on Capitol Hill, and again, they want to go after this guy who allegedly leaked the information about NSA. Look what John Bonner came out. That guy, he's you know, the orange man from Ohio. He's a complete idiot. He called the guy who supposedly leaked this allegedly information, he called him a terrorist. And I think Bonner's just a little bit upset because maybe people don't know over the weekend his daughter, his dearly little precious daughter, married a Jamaican construction worker with a repeat drug offense background. So maybe Bonner's a little upset about that. I don't know. You mad, bro? I mean, that's something I figured out. Bonner hates drugs, and he's one of those people who thinks marijuana is the worst thing in the world, and his darling little perfect daughter just married a Jamaican with a drug background. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know, you know, how that plays into what they do up on Capitol Hill, but they call this guy a terrorist, and I stick with what he said. I mean, when he spoke about it himself, he said he's not a terrorist, he's not a hero, he's just an American, and he didn't want to live in a country where they were doing this crap.
It'll be interesting to see if Bonner gets some dreadlocks now. Maybe he'll become a Rasta man. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know if that goes with the orange skin or not. That would be that would be interesting. I mean, but everybody talks about the IRS and how they abuse all the credit cards that they had and the charge cards. And I mean, the IRS should have been disbanded a long time ago. People are starting to come around when we said that they should have gotten rid of groups like the IRS and the Federal Reserve. And, you know, they're just proving Ron Paul right more and more. But, again, if you were for Ron Paul, well, you were going to take away a vote from Big Love Mitt Romney or Juan McCain. And, you know, these are their big family role models. And look what happens to them. Look what's become of the Mount Rushmore of Kentucky's Republican Party, Frank. We've talked about that. Look at their shining boys and what's happened to them.
Well, I think it's hilarious what's happened with Craig Grayson, just absolutely hilarious. And people in the establishment Republican Party don't want to talk about that. They don't want to admit that Trey was always a Democrat. He just wore the Republican label because it was politically expedient. But as far as Republican values, he has no more Republican values than anybody else, whatever that even means anymore, because they have their – you know, there's a lot of organizations, they have their ideals, and then they have the reality of what they actually do, and there's very little in common between those two things. And if you look at what the Republicans think they're about, they think they're, you know, pro-gun, and they think that they're for small government, and they think they're for a lot of things, but when you look at what they've actually done, they're very, very different from what they say they believe in.
Well, you talk about Trey, and it's Charles Merwin Grayson III for those at home. And Grayson, I mean, remember, this guy was a delegate for Bill Clinton. He was a delegate for Bill Clinton. And then when he saw the tea leaves, no pun intended, he started saying, oh, I better go join the Republican Party. So there he was. He did a decent job as Secretary of State of Kentucky. But then, you know, after he got his ass handed to him by Rand Paul for Senate, he just up and quit his job. I mean, he pulled his Sarah Palin. He quit. He ran off to Harvard, and now he's up there helping Democrats raise money. So that sounds like a wonderful Republican role model to me. Wouldn't you say so, Paul?
Dale, that you just continue to poke that bear in the eye. Keep scratching that sore, aren't you?
That's right.
And that is, and the thing is that. In Kentucky, for sure, what does it take to be called or considered a member of a political party?
Yep.
What does it take?
I've heard you talk about this before, Paul. Preach it. Tell the audience why, you know, about the parties and there's no real membership.
There is no membership. There is no membership. That's just it. And so anyone who is saying they're a member of the party, they need to show something. Like you have to in Indiana, I don't know if you know this, but they actually do have certain people who are, in fact, card-carrying members of the two parties in Indiana. I suspect that there is the same thing here in Kentucky, but it's not widely known. And I'll tell you one of the things that has always interested me. In Kentucky, there is a checkoff system whereby people on their tax returns can donate if you – excuse me, I'm sorry, not donate, but can allocate or designate certain monies. I think it's $3 for each checkbox to one of the mainline parties. And they claim that none of that is going to come out of that person's refund. So that means it's got to come out of tax revenues. Well, folks, if there are parties in Kentucky that don't have members, that doesn't that seem like it is an illegal arrangement? Okay.
Well, it is.
So,
go ahead.
I mean, that's a sham or a shill organization, but yet the Kentucky Democrat Party and the Kentucky Republican Party, they get untold tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars every tax season that goes somewhere. And where does it go?
I understand. And this is the part we never know. It's, you know, it's the lockbox, as Al Gore would say. And this is the problem with keeping electing nothing but Democrats and Republicans. You look at our state legislature, you have 137 Democrats and Republicans and one independent. And this is why you'll never get the straight party voting off the ballot. This is why you'll never get the state party designation for money to be allocated off the ballot or off the tax forms, because Republicans and Democrats run it. So when you have people telling me, oh, you got to vote for this Republican, Dale, because if you don't, it's going to help the Democrats, why do we keep wanting to elect the same people that we've been electing for the entire time of the Commonwealth of Kentucky? And we haven't gotten anywhere with it. So why don't you want to try something different? Because if you don't try something different and get more independence, you're never going to get rid of straight party voting and party allocation on the tax forms.
Well, that's a form of something I've been kind of harping on here in the last few weeks. I heard a term used on the radio, on a local radio talk show, and I went and looked it up, and I'll tell you what, I think this term explains, at least to me, why we face what you're just talking about, Dale, in all these different areas. That term is called cognitive dissonance.
Yep.
Cognitive dissonance. And it's the tendency of humans to, when they are confronted with something that rocks their world or is out of harmony or contradicts their personal belief system, humans just go and start making shit up so that particular item fits into their little personal belief system.
Yep.
So in other words, it's a form of self-delusion.
Yeah,
so,
self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah.
And so here they are, they're deluding themselves, and you and I and a whole bunch of people in the truth movement and in the Patriot movement and in the Tea Party movement, we keep thinking that we're going to get through to these people if we simply present them the truth, the facts. Guess what?
Yeah. Yep.
We're not going to get through to those people.
No, I agree. It's sad, but true.
I think you're right.
Right?
I said, I think you're right. I've seen it in the Republican Party when you've got Ron Paul, who's told the truth his entire 30-year career, and people ignore him and mock him and make fun of him. And then gradually, one issue at a time, other people start to realize, you know, without referring to Ron Paul, of course, that, hey, the IRS is bad, or, hey, war is bad. And then all of a sudden it's their idea, not Ron Paul's idea, and then all of a sudden the idea makes sense. They never even think, oh, hey, Ron Paul's been saying that very same thing for 30 years.
It sounds like to me we need some type of large-scale deprogramming effort, large-scale deprogramming, because as Frank pointed out, you can pick – I mean, these people will, over a long period of time, begin to realize on an issue-by-issue basis. that some of their personal belief system is just flat wrong. They're just, it's just flat wrong. Okay.
Well, I'd like to take people back to the presidential elections, and I'm glad we were talking about Ron Paul and him trying to get people to wake up, because we saw, Frank saw, I saw how they would alienate you if you didn't go with their, you know, neocon du jour, if you didn't go with a Juan McCain or a Big Love Mitt Romney. And I try to explain this to people in the last presidential election. And maybe people don't realize this, but first of all, this fake religious right that we keep hearing about, this weak need, ballless religious right. Because I say that, why? Oh, that's a horrible thing to say. Yeah, yeah. The reason I say that is, what does a religious right tend to be? They tend to be evangelical Protestants, am I right?
Pretty much.
Okay. 2012, when Ron Paul should have been elected as the Republican nominee for president, guess who the only Protestant candidate on the Republican ticket for Republican president was? Ron Paul was the only Protestant.
Mike Huckabee's not a Protestant. I thought he was Baptist.
He didn't run this time around. Remember, he'd already taken the 30 pieces of silver, and he's working for Fox News already.
Okay.
I'm talking about 2012, Frank.
Sorry.
That's all right. He ran in 2008, and then he took the big job with Fox News and started doing whatever Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch told him to do. But my point is,
what's Rick Santorum? What's Santorum?
Catholic.
Okay. All right.
And you got, you know, Romney and the Mormons. So like I said, you go round and round, Newt Gingrich, another Catholic. So Ron Paul was the only Protestant. And you had these Protestant groups of the religious right, and they would have nothing to do with Ron Paul. And then you look at the other big movement on the Republican side is this Right to Life movement. And, of course, I always get grief from them, as I'll continue telling you, and anybody who listens, and there are thousands who listen to the show, that the abortion issue should be like every other issue. It should be left up to the state. Yes, I believe it's murder, but do you want to take every murder case? If someone you know gets murdered, do you want the case to go to D.C., to the District of Criminals, or do you want it to be handled in Kentucky? And I've always said that about abortion. So with abortion, that was their big issue, too. They love to have abortion to hang out there to fundraise. Ron Paul delivered thousands of babies as an OBGYN. Who can be more pro-life than a deliverer of babies? So, you know, this is how hypocritical they are, and I had to touch on that. I mentioned this weeks and months ago in previous shows when Frank was talking about, you know, how they wouldn't look to Ron Paul. He was the only Protestant, and not that that should matter, but it supposedly it did. It used to in the religious right. Guess what else? In this past year, this past election, in 2012, he was the only Republican nominee with a military experience. Don't they always tell us how much they love their soldiers?
Oh, yeah. What I've come to believe is that there's just so many people that let the TV do their thinking for them, and no matter how wrong the television is, they're just sticking to that. And I see the same thing in the religious right. And I'm not saying everybody that goes to church. I'm not saying everybody that's religious, but there's a lot of people that claim to be religious that are not what I would call Christ-like.
Right, and like I said, with Ron Paul, I mean, it just has to be reminded to people he was the only Protestant candidate, if that means anything. He was the only military experience candidate, if that means anything. And he delivered thousands of babies in a party that claims that things like military experience, being pro-life, and being a Christian, and running a Christian is so important. And Ron Paul was a checkmark on all of those, and they shunned him so they could get Big Love Romney, or 4 years previously, Juan McCain. And now we've come to see that those weren't any better choices than Dear Leader Obama.
And they would chant the same mantra all the time. Ron Paul's crazy. Ron Paul's crazy. And you'd ask him, well, tell me, please, explain what you mean. How is Ron Paul crazy? What issues are you referring to? What's Ron Paul crazy about? And they really couldn't articulate a position. It's just they were told that he was crazy, therefore he's crazy. They don't know why he's crazy, but he must be crazy because that's what the TV told them.
Or they make stuff up. And we're going to get into closing comments in a minute, so we definitely are thankful for the great contributions of Frank and Paul. Or they make stuff up. I remember going to events at a restaurant full of old ladies and I heard them telling each other that Ron Paul wanted to legalize heroin. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard this, but it just cracked me up. A little old ladies telling each other that Ron Paul wanted to legalize heroin. And when I heard that, it's all I could do to stop and say, would you all even know what heroin was if it was sitting right in front of your damn face?
Well, you know, I heard Ron Paul talk about that one time, and he says, you know, I've never once mentioned the word heroin. Never in all of my speeches have I ever mentioned heroin. And, you know, I think what he wants to do is just look at the war on drugs and let's step back from that and try something that's a little more sane and a little more sensible rather than just throwing people in jail for smoking marijuana. But there was a time in America when actually you could buy cocaine at the pharmacy, you could buy heroin at the pharmacy, you could probably buy other drugs as well, and there wasn't a rampant drug problem. The problem seems to be that our society is so quick to judge and condemn that they don't know how to think anymore. They don't look at the long-term repercussions of the processes they've set into motion, and they don't want to take a look at anything different. They don't want to look at history, and they don't want to look at other examples around the world where different ideas have actually worked, like decriminalization is in Portugal. And, you know, the people there have seen a decrease in drug use with decriminalization of drugs. And so our people in this country don't want to look at that. I mean, a lot of people, so a lot of us do, but there's a lot of us still that have their heads buried in the sand, and they don't want to think, and they don't want to try anything else. Their solution to everything is throw people in jail.
Yeah, pretty much. They want to put everybody in a cage, and I definitely agree with Frank's sentiments. And here's the thing. The problem is sanity and common sense don't work. They don't work with the current political system because they don't get huge coffers of campaign money. They don't get huge contributions. You want to talk about lobbyists? I love how people try to call an independent candidate in the special election a lobbyist. What about the fact that you have all these lobbyists who used to be chairman of the state parties, Democrat and Republican? What about all these former state chairmen now make hundreds, if not millions of dollars as lobbyists? Again, they ran away from Ron Paul. They shunned Ron Paul like crazy. And what did they say again? The same thing they tell you in any primary election, any special election, any race where they want you to vote for their favorite sheep. They'll say, Ron Paul can't win. They'll always say, Ron Paul can't win. Folks, if you back him, he can win. If you stop listening to the television, if you tune out, turn off and start listening in to the blog talk shows more, you'll know that they can win if you elect them. Do you want somebody like that who stood up for the Constitution, who had that military record that they wanted, who had that pro-life record they wanted, who had that Protestant background they wanted? Or do you want more of the same old 30-year-old voting record of people like Addison Mitchell McConnell, filled with NSA, Patriot Act, fiscal cliff deals, debt ceiling increases, CAFTA, NAFTA, free jets, and bank bailouts? I'll take the former. You take the latter if you want bigger government. Start voting for constitutionalists. Stop worrying about the damn label of the D and the R in front of their name. Stop worrying about it like it's a scorecard. How many representatives are there in Washington? How many representatives are there in Frankfurt from your party? Start looking at how many of them give a damn about the Constitution. Say death to the New World Order. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
answers.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.